Who is it? My eighth friend in your ummah, my eighth friend is one who unjustly and illegally steals or misappropriates the goods or the property of orphans. My ninth friend of the 11, my ninth friend is one who does not pay zakat. My tenth friend is one who gives precedence and preference to this dunya over and above the akhirah. This is a man and or a woman who's only got time for the dunya. Everything for dunya, no time for Allah, no time for the Rasul of Allah, no time for even thinking about the akhirah. They are so immersed and engrossed in this world and in worldly pursuit that they have no time for their deen. So, says Shaitan, that his tenth friend is one who gives precedence and preference to this dunya over and above the akhirah. And Shaitan concludes by saying that his 11th friend in the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is one who lives with hopes of an expanded and an extended life in this world. One who, you know, who prays always that Allah must give him long life, he can live for hundreds of years and thousands of years perhaps. Not lillahi ta'ala, but lid dunya, to enjoy himself in this world. That is a very great friend, a personal friend of Shaitan ar-Rajim, Shaitan the cursed one. This is how Shaitan describes him. He says, these are my 11 best friends in your ummah. That concludes the description of the 11 people whom Shaitan loves and whom he describes as his personal friends to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A brief comment coming up, it is as follows. Herein is contained in very clear terms the people who belong to the party of Shaitan. Shaitan loves them, Shaitan cherishes them, and they work hand in hand in all their evil actions and dealings. Shaitan suggests evil to them, and they readily comply with these evil suggestions, and then Shaitan makes it look good to them, and then justifies their actions through his blatant lies and deceptions. These are all cursed people who will be severely punished for their evil deeds, both in this world and in the hereafter. I may mention here also by way of comment that these friends of Shaitan, Shaitan sometimes makes them very wealthy. And through the wealth, Shaitan makes them very proud and arrogant. The seeds of disbelief are planted in their hearts, and then of course they go the whole hog with Shaitan. So beware of Shaitan and these descriptions, and learn from them. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Shaitan, in what state and condition do you find yourself when people are engaged in salah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Shaitan, he says, what condition, what is your halat, what is your condition, what is your state, what happens to you, O Shaitan, when you find yourself, when you find people, when you find a Muslim engaged in salah? Shaitan replied, when I find people engaged in salah, then I tremble and I shake with fear, with trepidation and with fever. When I find people, says Shaitan, who are engaged in performing salah, then I tremble and I shake with trepidation, with fear and with fever. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, and how do you find yourself when they are in a state of fasting? When they are fasting, like you and I are now. How do you find yourself when you find Muslims in a state of fasting? Shaitan replied, he says, I find myself a prisoner. When Muslims are fasting, Shaitan says, I find myself a prisoner. I find myself imprisoned. I find myself, in other words, in chains. I cannot act. I am helpless. I can do nothing whatsoever to them. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, and in what condition do you find yourself when people are engaged in Hajj and Jihad? Here, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has linked Hajj with Jihad. That is how the question is asked, and I carry it over to you. In what condition do you find yourself when you find people, in other words, Muslims, engaged in Hajj and in Jihad? Shaitan replied, I find that both my hands are fastened behind my back. I find, says Shaitan, that both my hands are tied or are fastened behind my back. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, and in what state do you find yourself when people give alms and give charity, when people give sadaqah? When Muslims are giving sadaqah, asks Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is your condition, O shaitan? Shaitan replied, at that time I feel as though those who are giving alms and charity hold a saw blade, a saw in their hands, and they sawing me in half from the head downwards, and then throwing one half of me to the east and throwing the other half of me to the west. When people give sadaqah, shaitan says, admits to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Muslims give sadaqah, at that time I feel as those who are giving charity, they are holding a saw blade in their hands and they are sawing me in half from the head downwards, and then they throw one half of me to the east and the other half of me to the west. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Shaitan, why do you feel this way, O you cursed one? Why do you feel this way, O you cursed one? And Shaitan replied and he said, the reason for this is that the charitable person enjoys three significant attributes and I cannot bear to see it. In other words, I cannot tolerate it. Shaitan's explanation to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reason for this is that the charitable person enjoys three significant qualities or attributes, and I, who am Shaitan, I cannot bear to see these qualities in this Muslim. Which Muslim? A charity giving Muslim. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala owes the charity giver a debt. Allah ta'ala owes the one who gives charity, Allah ta'ala owes him a debt. In other words, do not misunderstand this. By owing him a debt means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who give charity, Allah will reward them, Allah will increase them, Allah will give them more barakah, and so forth. Alright? Now Shaitan says he cannot bear this, he cannot tolerate this. Firstly, Allah ta'ala owes the charity giver a debt. Secondly, the charity giver becomes an heir to Jannah. Those who give charity are promised Jannah. So Shaitan says that I hate. I hate that such a guarantee be given, that such a guarantee, that such charity be, the charity giver is promised Jannah. So Shaitan becomes very contemptuous of such a person, for the promise of Jannah is on the charity giver. Alright, the third one says Shaitan, and thirdly, because the charity giver is saved from my attempts to seduce him or her. Listen to this, brothers. Shaitan tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thirdly, because the charity giver is saved from my attempts to seduce him or her, in other words, to lead astray, to ruin, to mislead, to bewilder, or to deprave for a period of 40 days. Those who give sadaqah are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan for a period of 40 days. So shaitan says he hates this. That is the three qualities that shaitan claims he dislikes the most in the charity giver. This reveals to us the extent of humiliation, this is my comment, this reveals to us the extent of humiliation suffered by shaitan as a result of sadaqah, as well as the protection received by charity givers as a result of giving sadaqah. Sadaqah, small or large amounts, according to one's means, not only shows compassion for one's fellows, but it also gives proof of a lack of greed and selfishness, qualities which are harmful and disruptive to a Muslim's life. And look at the great rewards in dunya and akhirah. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, learn and practice and belong to the party of Allah. Our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Shaitan, do you know how many shayateen there are? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Shaitan, what is the population of devils in this world? Putting it in our plain words, in our language, day-to-day language, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Shaitan, what is the population of the shayateen of the devils in this world? Do you know how many shayateen there are in this world? Shaitan replied, brothers, listen carefully to this. It is a bit mathematical, and listen carefully and then you can work it out yourself. I've translated it literally. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Shaitan replied, O Nabi Kareem, O Nabi, I have used this word, O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have been commanded to tell you the truth, and so I am forced to say this. What does Shaitan? Shaitan doesn't want to reveal. Shaitan doesn't want to say. Shaitan wants to conceal this fact that he is now forced to open and to reveal to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says that I have been commanded to tell you the truth, and so I will. So know therefore that the human beings constitute 1/10 of the animal kingdom of this world. So know therefore that human beings, the human creation of Allah, constitutes 1/10 of the animal kingdom of this world. And that humans and animals put together make up 1/10 of the winged creatures of this world. And that humans, animals, and winged creatures together make up 1/10 of the jinn creation. Brothers, I think I've missed out a line. Let me go over this again. So know therefore that the human creation, that human beings constitute 1/10 of the animal kingdom. That humans and animals together make up 1/10 of the winged creatures of this world. That humans, animals, and winged creatures constitute together 1/10 of the jinn creation of this world. That humans, animals, winged creatures, and jinns all put together make up 1/10 of the shayateen. And also that humans, animals, winged creatures, jinns, and shayateen all put together make up 1/10 of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And also that humans, animals, winged creatures, jinns, shayateen, and Ya'juj and Ma'juj all together constitute 1/10 of the malaikats in the heavens. And so this ratio goes on up to the 7th heaven. Now Shaitan, what happens there in the 7th heaven and above? He's cut it off. In other words, everything else that is in the heavens, whatever it be in that ratio, all we have to know is these ratios that have been revealed by Shaitan to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here it is, we'll look at it quickly again and then proceed so that it can hold fast in your mind. What a small percentage of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we human beings are. A drop in the ocean. So minute. If you work backwards from these figures, you will see we are just a drop in the ocean. Wallah. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us at all whatsoever. How many times have we been told we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah. And yet we feel we are such a dominant authority in this world. And yet we are nothing at all whatsoever in the presence of the other and the rest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The minutest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet, yes, the most eminent, the most honorable, and the most revered creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the human creation. Subhanallah. The ashraful makhlukat, the finest in entire creation is the human creation, and yet we are so tiny and so little and so few. Here it is as follows. Shaitan reveals to the Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on being asked the question, what is the population of devils in this world? This is what he says. He says, humans constitute 1/10 of the animal kingdom. Humans and animals make up 1/10 of the winged creatures of this world. Humans, animals, and winged creatures make up 1/10 of the jinn creation of Allah Ta'ala in this world. Humans, animals, winged creatures, and jinns all lumped together and put together make up 1/10 of the shayateen that exist in this world. and that humans, animals and winged creatures, jinns and shayateen, all of them put together, make up one tenth of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. I'll tell you what that is just now. Of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And then, says Shaitan, take man, take human beings, animals, winged creatures, jinns, shaitan, and Ya'juj, Ma'juj together. Put them all together, and all of these put together make up only one tenth of the angels that exist in the heavens. I have added this commentary. It's as follows. What amazing. And of course, this last one is not very clear to me. Where Shaitan says, and so this ratio goes up to the seventh heaven. Alright? That is something that we'll have to think very deeply about. Any case, what amazing statistics. Absolutely incredible. Shaitan has knowledge of the heavens and the earth, but only that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits. And Shaitan's knowledge is not even one tenth of the knowledge of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In case some of us may be wondering that my word, Shaitan is revealing things which Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not know. Yeah, there may be a few things that he doesn't know here, but he is being informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the medium of Shaitan. But this doesn't mean he is lacking for any knowledge. No. His knowledge is too vast. Shaitan's knowledge comes nowhere near to the knowledge, does not even make up an atom of the knowledge of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I say, Shaitan has knowledge of the heavens and the earth, for he in pre-Islamic times used to ascend into the heavens, and he travels on earth fast and widely, and thus sees and experiences a lot of things, does Shaitan, so we can expect him to know such things at first hand. About Ya'juj and Ma'juj, I do not wish to state much at this stage. Brothers, I do not wish to state much about Ya'juj and Ma'juj at this stage, for this is another very interesting story which I would like to do with you with justice at some other time. To fill you in briefly, however, in this brief commentary, and to remove whatever doubts you may have in your mind, I wish to quote this one ayat of the Quran, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, out of several places, I'm quoting only one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with regard to the people of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hatta iza futihat Ya'juj wa Ma'juj wa hum min kulli hadabi yansilun. Surah Anbiya, 21st Surah of the Quran, ayat number 96. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hatta until, Iza futihat Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. When Ya'juj and Ma'juj are released, are let loose, when a passage is opened for them. Hatta Iza futihat Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, wa hum min kulli hadabi yansilun. Until when Ya'juj and Ma'juj are let loose, are released by a passage which is open for them, and they hasten forth from every high place. And they hasten forth out of that cavity, out of that place where they are held prisoners. Wherefrom they hasten forth, out of every high place they will come into this and enter this earth of ours. Very briefly only, because this is a very enormous subject. Ya'juj and Ma'juj are people, human beings, that are held prisoners in some confine of this earth, in some undiscovered portion of this earth, by Allah's will and divine decree, where they are rapidly increasing and multiplying at a tremendous rate, and will appear on earth in their millions and billions when released by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just before Yawmul Qiyamah, to cause havoc on earth. This will be just before the slaying, this will be just after the slaying of Dajjal by Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. I say again that Allah willing, I will relate the story to you some other time, inshallah. That is all I'm going to say at present about these people of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. But from this description given by Shaitan, you can yourselves calculate what a vast hordes of people, what a vast multiplication of people, these will be Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Alright? And you have the statistics in front of you. What is going to happen in that Qiyamah, prior to Qiyamah, when the signs of Yawmul Qiyamah appear, brothers, is incredible. It's surprising. The things that are contained in Quran and in Hadith with regard to only one of the signs of Yawmul Qiyamah, such as the appearance of Ya'juj and Ma'juj from this very earth. We think we know everything about planet Earth, but there are portions of this globe that we know absolutely nothing about, which Allah has kept hidden from the sight and the discovery of man. It is right there. And I always say this, there are so many things on planet Earth that man has yet not discovered, which is yet to be discovered. We know so little, and we think we know such a lot. The kuffar just do not want to learn. They do not want to turn to Quran. And yet the Quran contains so many things about that which is yet to appear. And so does the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's proceed with the conversation now. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, of course, Shaitan, through which habits of my ummah do you recognize their downfall and their destruction? Shaitan, tell me, how do you recognize when one of my people are dropping down, when one of my people are failing, one of my people are destroying themselves of my ummah? How do you recognize, through which habits of my ummah do you recognize the downfall and the destruction of my people? Shaitan replied, when they accept and abide by three habits which I introduce into them. In other words, when they opt for and they adopt these habits that I waswas them with, that I introduced to them, then I know that they have embarked on the path of destruction and decay. Firstly, when they become greedy, avaricious, and miserly, meaning stingy. For greed is at the top of all sins. The word that is used in the kitab is, of course, is at the head of all sins. Greed is at the head of all sins. I preferred in my translation that greed is at the top of all sins. Let's look at it again. Shaitan says, the first and the foremost habit which any person in your ummah, if he adopts this, then I know he is going down. He is going to destroy himself and he is going to decay completely. There's very little chance of him rising up again. Shaitan says the first is that when they become greedy, when they become avaricious, and they become miserly and very stingy. Secondly, when they take to gambling, to laying wagers and bets, and they start playing for stakes. And also when they turn to the absurd and the foolish and the obscene, for these are branches of kufr. In other words, when people of your ummah turn to branches of kufr, then I know that they are going to destroy themselves. And what are these branches of kufr? O Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these branches of kufr in which your people will indulge, whereby I will know that they're going to destroy themselves, are, and listen carefully, that is gambling. And what is gambling? They will start laying wagers. Wagers, W-A-G-E-R-S, not W-A-G-E-S. But G-E-R-S, they start laying wagers. In other words, what is laying wagers and bets? In other words, this boxer will win or that boxer will win. This horse will win or that horse will win. And so forth and so on. Right? Fighting for prizes, all kinds of prizes for things that they have not even sweated for. Alright? And also, what is this? They're going to start up here now. What do they call this? Lotteries. Lotteries and so on. All these are wagers and bets. You put in a rand and you will receive 100,000 rand. You put in 10 rands and you'll receive 1 million and so on. No ways in Islam, brothers. Here it is. This is an invention of Shaitan. And Shaitan says, O Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when I see your people indulging in these types of bets and wagers, your people are destroyed. They have destroyed themselves. Alright, here it is. These are the words of Shaitan. And also Shaitan says, when the people of your ummah turn to things that are absurd. Yes, what is absurd? You know what is absurd? The world of entertainment. To absurdities, to foolish and stupid things. Carousels, magic feats, dramas, stage acts, all that type of fictional performances, which we know is absolutely fiction. Yes, films, absolute fiction, pure fiction. What are films? Absolute. Romantic novels, is there any truth in them? Absolute rubbish. When your people start turning to such nonsense, to obscene things, what is that? Observing all over Europe, Asia, all over the world, they have these night shows. What are they? People go, Muslims go and sit and look on these things on the stage, naked things and all the rest of it, obscene things, obscene literature, pornography. What are these things? Here, Shaitan tells, these are my devices. I introduce these to the people of your ummah. And when they opt for it and when they adopt it, I tell you, you are their Rasul. They are supposed to follow you. They become completely under my power and my grip, and they start to follow me. Then I know. Then they are on the path of self-destruction. So there Shaitan tells. Obviously I'm using a few extra words to describe and to comment on the saying of Shaitan. Allahu Akbar. That is the second one. That's secondly, when they take to gambling. And the third habit which I get through to destroy the people of your ummah is to neglect and to forget their sins. Allahu Akbar. Look at Nauzubillah. When Muslims commit sins and they just, it means nothing to them. Mindless of sins, when your ummah become unconscious of sins. In other words, they commit the sin and it means nothing. No istighfar, no tawbah, no nothing. It, when sin becomes no sin to them any longer. Shaitan tells Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the direct translation, and the third habit which I get through to your people to destroy them is to neglect and to forget their sins. In other words, to become mindless of their sins. These are the three habits that spell destruction for your ummah. Allahu Akbar, brothers. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have a few more minutes, let's carry on. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, very worried. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on hearing this, is extremely worried. He says, My ummah is one upon whom the mercy, the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala descends. Shaitan, you're saying this, but do you not know, are you not wise to the fact that my ummah is an ummah upon whom the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala descends? In one instant, Allah Ta'ala can forgive them for 50 years of sin. People of my ummah, Shaitan, you are saying and threatening me and telling me this about my ummah, but do you know my ummah is such that if one of them who has committed sin raises his hands and he makes dua and he makes istighfar and he appeals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy and for clemency and for the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's rahmah is such that Allah ta'ala can in one instant forgive him for 50 years of sin. 50 years is a period, but 100 years of sin even, 1,000 years of sin even. That is my ummah. Oh Shaitan, what are you telling me? Shaitan replied, and now look, Shaitan is very skillful, yet in this case Shaitan is being truthful. He says, what you say is true, O Nabi. What you say is true, O Nabi. But I in turn will suggest to them ways and means that will destroy all their good deeds and nullify their prayer for forgiveness. You know what means nullify their prayer for forgiveness? He'll ask Allah, forgive me, and he'll go and commit it again. Through Shaitan's instigation. Which nullifies that tawbah that you have made is null and void. Allah Ta'ala throws it back into your feet. So Shaitan says that it is true what you are saying. O Nabi of the Muslims, Ya Rasul of the Muslims, is true what you are saying. But remember, I in turn suggest to them ways and means that will destroy all those good deeds of theirs and nullify their prayer for forgiveness. Shaitan Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon asked Shaitan, what kind of suggestions will you make to them to deceive my ummah? Shaitan, tell me, you are saying that you will suggest to them whereby it will nullify all their good deeds. How are you going to nullify those good deeds? Tell me. How? The question is, what kind of suggestions will you make to my ummah to nullify their good deeds? And this is the reply of Shaitan. And we will end off with this, brothers. This is the reply of Shaitan. Says, let me take your old men first. Allahu Akbar. Shaitan now is going to give a detailed reply. Shaitan says, this is how he goes to work. Let me take your old men first. Not the women folk. He'll come to that just now. He deals with them category by category. So let me take your old men first and tell you what I shall do to the old men of your ummah. I do not suggest anything to them which they are unable to carry out and thereby fail to follow me. Because I'm not going to tell your old people anything which they are unable to carry out. All the things that I will tell them and suggest to them is what they can carry out, what they are able to carry out. I suggest to them things that they can easily carry out and thus follow me. I suggest to them that they lie, that they deceive, that they slander, that they cheat, that they give false evidence, in other words, that they bear false testimony, that they be lazy, that they be loose in their salah, that they be slack and inattentive in their ibadah. These habits can be easily handled by the old men of your ummah through my suggestions. Let us now take your young men. Shaitan's category. He first deals, he says, you know what? O Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know what I'm going to do to your ummah? I'll take all the old people of your ummah and this is what I will make them do. I will suggest, put these evil suggestions across to them to lie, to deceive, to slander, to cheat, to bear false testimony, to be lazy and loose in their salah, in the performance of their salah duty, and that they must be slack and inattentive in their ibadah. In other words, they must say, I can't concentrate, so how can I make my ibadah? And wherever they do make ibadah, it is quick, it is haste, it is in haste. Shaitan causes them to do this. They cannot concentrate and sit in zikrullah 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. No, I'm an old man, I cannot sit. And so they give way and they go away. I cannot make tilawah of 2-3 juz. I cannot read 2-3 chapters of the Quran, make tilawah, take 2-3 hours sitting quietly and making tilawah. No, I cannot do so. I'm an old man. And that oldness becomes an excuse for them for their slackness in their ibadah. By whose suggestion? By Shaitan. Shaitan is whispering to them and telling them, no, you old, you sickly man, what do you want to make? To lie down, go and rest, go and see this, go and do that, go do the other things which is not ibadah. By whose advice? By whose suggestion? By Shaitan's suggestion. Shaitan says, this is what I'll do to your old people. And he says, now let us take your young people, your young men. We are dealing with the male. Now let us take your young men. I suggest to them that they speak lies, that they deceive, that they backbite and slander others, that they bear false witness, that they indulge in sinful and prohibited acts, that they participate in evil and obscene deeds, that they become proud and arrogant, and that they look and stare at forbidden and haram things. Your young men are easily attracted to these ways and habits, and I have very little difficulty with them. This is what Shaitan says. He says what he is going to do to the young men. Now remember, there's three categories. One is the old men, one is the young men, and one is the youth, the teenagers. Let's divide them in three. Shaitan did, this is how he has described. He's taken the male and he said there's old people in the male, there's young people in the male, and then there's the youth, the boys. He describes what he's going to do. Old people, I've said what he's going to do. With the young people, young men, he says what he's going to make them speak lies. Alright? They will deceive their parents, deceive their teachers, deceive their elders, deceive their khalifas, and so on. They will backbite and slander others to save themselves. They will backbite on others, cheat on others, slander others. They will bear false witness. They will speak lies about others. That they will indulge in sinful and prohibited acts. that you can work out for yourself what is sinful and prohibited acts. Experiment with drugs, go out with girls, indulge in sex play and foreplay, petting, etc., doing things that are haram. They will participate in evil and obscene deeds. What is evil and obscene deeds? Looking at pornography. You know how attractive young people find pornography. They will see blue films, etc. They will do things and indulge in things which are haram, and so forth and so on. This is merely by way of description. I'm using these few words, but you will know more better than what I do about these things. And that they become proud, and I will instill in them and encourage them to become proud and arrogant. Little achievements, little things that they do, they will become proud and arrogant, and they will look and stare at forbidden and haram things. Yes? Every girl that passes by, they will whistle. They will describe girls with all the fascinating words that they have at their disposal. In their company, there will be no other talk but sex talk. Young men, that's the type of... Who is the instigator of all this? Shaitan says he is the instigator. Who does he say it to? He says it to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to give about the youth and we'll end off there. Boys. And now let me take your youth, your boys. They are pawns in my hand. Look what Shaitan says. Your boys, the boys of your ummah, are pawns in my hand. They are like clay in my fingers. I play with them as I want to, and I do with them as I wish to, says Shaitan. And then he tells Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us now turn to your old ladies, your old women. I won't proceed with that, brothers. I will carry on with that now. Unfortunately, my idea was, when I saw the kitab and I read through, I thought in those 30 pages I will be able to do it in maybe 1.5 hours, 2 hours. Brothers, what I have done now is not even 1/3 of this conversation. I did not expect that once I start writing it down, it will come to this much. And there's no repetition. What is to follow is perhaps more startling than what I have done so far. Alright, so there's a lot to follow. I ask you, in all earnestness, those of you who can, not next Sunday, but the Sunday following, next week, end of most probably could be Eid day, as I say. And then the Sunday following, after Asr, in this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those of you Sunday, we are all free, you can make the necessary sacrifice, be here after Asr, at least come and listen to the follow-up to this particular talk. I will try my best. I do not promise. I doubt very much whether I will be able to do it in that one Sunday. It may take two. I'm amazed that the Arabic language is so short, so congested in English, once you start writing, there's such a lot of... And of course, I've been giving comments in between as well. So it has taken me longer. I apologize if some of you thought that I would be able to conclude this particular conversation. Inshallah, brothers, my request before we end off is, please, as I said at the beginning, make dua for all the elderly, sickly and weak and decrepit people of our ummah, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give them good health. All our parents also, they have been very good to us, they brought us in the world. Please, brothers, respect our parents, respect our elders, honor them, cherish them, love them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have mercy on all of them. Also, we plead and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must show His kindness and compassion towards us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant us a successful life, fi dunya wa fil akhirah, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must cherish, must help, must assist, and grant the greatest success to all our children, inshallah ta'ala. Hard, difficult times lie ahead, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must make the path ahead, both for this country, all the citizens of this country, the Muslim Ummah in particular. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must make the path ahead easy for us, inshallah. Allah must shower His mercy and blessings upon the Ummah of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, finally I request all of you to make dua for me also. We've come a long way, many, many years of teaching, and please bear with me and join me in our lessons, and let us carry on with the hand of friendship and brotherhood for many more years to come, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Our subject, Shaitan's plan for man. We are discussing now the conversation in this particular chapter between Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Shaitanir Rajim. Shaitanir Rajim meaning Shaitan, the accursed one, the one who was cursed by Allah and the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We as normal commence now in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one, our maker, our sustainer, our creator. And we also in commencing proceed by sending salutations, darood and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this conversation we have done a certain portion which I am not going to repeat. We were busy with this question which the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Shaitan, that, O Shaitan, what kind of suggestions will you make to my ummah? Shaitan, what kind of suggestions will you make to my ummah which will make forgiveness for them impossible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What action are you going to drive my ummah towards which will make forgiveness for them, to them, unpardoned? In other words, they will not be pardoned and forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point was that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Shaitan that my ummah is one upon whom the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in such a vast amount that a Muslim who makes a dua for having committed 50 years of wrong and sin, he can be forgiven in one moment when he makes and begs for tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaitan said, yes, but such a man's tawbah will not be accepted, because Shaitan will not provide him with the reasons for his tawbah being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this, I'm going to go through this very, very quickly, because I have already, but since it's part of the whole narration, I'm going to read that out to you and then complete it. What Shaitan did then was to categorize the ummah into three portions. He took the men and he categorized them in three. That is to say, the old people, the middle-aged people, and the young people. In other words, the men. Old men, middle-aged men, and young men. For convenience sake, though Shaitan has not said so, we may understand it in this way. That the young men would be the under 20s, 20 and under. I would say the middle-aged, these are my description to make it easier for us to understand. Middle-aged would be those that are between 20 and 40. Or rather 21 and 40, and the old men would be 41 and over. That makes it easier for us to understand. So this is what Shaitan says, that he is now going to first take the old men and describe to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam what he is going to do with the old men of Islam in order that their tawbah not be accepted by Allah ta'ala. And he says, in taking the old men first, I do not suggest anything to them which they are unable to carry out, and thereby fail to follow me. I suggest to them things that they can easily carry out and thus follow me. I suggest to them that they lie, that they deceive, that they slander, that they cheat, and that they bear false testimony, meaning give false evidence. They are partial. They favor people. And that they be loose and lazy in salah, and that they be slack and inattentive in their ibadah. These habits can be easily handled by the old men of your ummah through my suggestions. This is what Shaitan tells the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, now let us take your young men, or rather your middle-aged men. I suggest to them that they speak lies, that they deceive, that they backbite, that they slander others, that they bear false witness, that they indulge in sinful and prohibited acts, that they participate in evil and obscene deeds, that they be proud and they be arrogant, and that they look and stare at forbidden and haram things. Then he comes to the young men. Alright, so we have the old men and we have the middle-aged men, and now we take the young men. Your young men are easily attracted to these ways and habits, and I have very little difficulty with them. And now let me take your youth. This the youth now means the under 20s. Your boys, they are pawns in my hand. They are like clay in my fingers. I play with them as I want to, and I do with them as I wish to. Let us now turn to your old ladies. This is where I had ended off. in the month of Ramadan on the last Sunday. Let us now turn to your old women, your old ladies. And here I have said those that are over 40 years of age. Shaitan says to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to them I suggest that they accuse others falsely, that they calumniate. And calumny or calumniation means to propagate evil reports about others with a design to injure the reputation of others. You know, there may be a little truth in what they are saying, but they will add on, as we say, sterta. They will add on tales to it. They will add additional things to a particular story. All right? Something may have gone wrong with somebody, or somebody may have made a mistake, and they will put additional things and describe that person as a horrible propagator of crime and sin. That is what these old ladies will do. Who say so? Shaitan say so. By what means? By he instigating them, whispering to them in their ears, in their hearts and in their minds, all these evil ideas. He will plant the seed of such calumny in their hearts. So Shaitan says, what will he make the old ladies do? He will suggest to them to accuse others falsely, to calumniate, which means to propagate evil reports about others, and the intention thereby is to injure the reputation of others, meaning to defame other people. And also these old ladies, they will cast aspersions on the integrity of others. What does that mean? That means that people normally go to the elderly women. Women would normally go to women folk, elderly women folk, and ask them that, look, mother, what is your advice? Or auntie, what is your opinion about such and such a person? These old women, Shaitan will tell them, because they do not like this woman for one reason or another, they will then slander and cast aspersions on the integrity of that particular. If they like the person, they will praise him. And if they dislike that particular person on a whim or a fancy, then they will break down the integrity of such a person, injure the integrity of such people. This is what Shaitan will make the old women folk do. And also say Shaitan, that they defame and they slander others. That they talk excessively. You must have seen old women folk do this. They carry on talking and talk. Shaitan says that is his habit. He makes them do this. They will talk and talk. Old women are supposed to be silent. They are supposed to be in tasbih. They are supposed to be in zikr. They are supposed to be in tilawa. They are supposed to be devoting their minds, meditating upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have lived an existence. They have got maturity. They have got wisdom. They have got experience. They should know by now that they should be living most of their time in their homes in i'tikaf. This they should know. That they should be punctual with salah, punctual with their ibadah. What else have they got to do? Alright? They are the ones that should be engaged for 10, 12 hours a day in the and a night on a 24-hour span. Half the time should be spent in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one way or another. Their maturity and their wisdom and their zikrullah should be such that its benefit, its reward should spread over the whole and entire family. Today we as Muslims are losing control of our families, and the moral tone of our families is being spoiled and broken down. Moral barriers are being broken down by our children because there is no steadfast influence at home. That pillar of support that children used to get in their home from their old people, Shaitan says he will break that down. There will be no pillar there in that particular home. He is going to break these old men and these mature old women completely. So he says that they will defame and slander others. They will talk excessively. This will be by Shaitan's design. That they indulge in magic. Allahu Akbar. Shaitan says these old women, they will have all the time in the world, instead of engaging zikrullah and all that, whoever they dislike or they hate and so on, they will go and perform magical acts against them, and they will indulge in charms, in sorcery, and in witchcraft. And Shaitan says these old women, they will look upon salah with scorn, with disdain, and with contempt. Allahu Akbar. This will be, now Shaitan is not saying with all women, old women this will happen. He is saying this is what he will do in order to break them down, in order to make them impious. These are the things he will make. I am not saying that all old women are like this. Na'uzubillah, no. what I'm saying, this shaitan tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these will be his ways of making sure that their tawbah is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will have no time for tawbah. Because if they are indulging in these things, then people who indulge in these types of things, their tawbah, these are major sins. Shaitan will make them indulge in major sins. What is the sense in making tawbah when next day you go on, next minute, next hour you go on to indulge in these? So it is the old women of Islam that do all these things according to shaitan. They do what? They look upon salah with scorn, with disdain, and with contempt. This is what shaitan says. Alright, that is the category. I'm giving explanations as I go along because shaitan was very brief in his explanation to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us look, old women. I'll give you a direct translation without any commentary. Shaitan says, as regards your old women, to them I suggest that they accuse others falsely, that they calumniate, which means to propagate evil reports with a design to injure the reputation of another, that they cast aspersions and on the integrity of others, that they defame and slander others, that they talk excessively, continuously, that they indulge in magic, in charms, in sorcery, and in witchcraft, and that they look upon salah with scorn, with disdain, and with contempt. Here I may mention also what shaitan means here by saying that they indulge in magic, in charms, in sorcery, and in witchcraft. You know, there may be a young, recently a daughter that's married that has got children, or a daughter-in-law that's coming to the home. The child may be sick, or somebody may be sick, and then they start and they do all types of funny things with them. Not in the proper way, but in the wrong way. They may come up with all kinds of witchcraft, and so take them here and take them there. I'm not talking about the right way. I'm talking about the evil way and the sinful way and the wrong way to cure that children and others. Now let's see, as to your middle-aged women, well, there is no disputation or argument between me and them. Allahu Akbar, look what shaitan says. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm using the word, the shaitan doesn't refer to him as such, but I'm saying the shaitan tells the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that as far as your middle-aged women are concerned, which I have categorized in my own words as between 21 and 40, as far as they are concerned, there is no disputation, no argument. In other words, they are in the palm of my hands. This is what shaitan. I've got no problem as far as your middle-aged women are concerned. These are his words. He says, there is no disputation or argument between me and them. And I've written here in brackets, I get them easily under my power and my spell. And I control them thoroughly through my suggestions. That is what those words mean. Alright, as the ulama have written down from the kitab in which I obtained this information, look how apt is their commentary as to mine. I get them easily, means shaitan, under my power and under my spell and under my control through my suggestions. Then he continues, shaitan says, only one in a thousand can resist my advances on them. Only one in a thousand of your middle-aged, your younger women folk, only one in a thousand can resist my advances on them. Exactly the same goes for your youth. Those were the middle-aged women, and he says exactly the same applies to your girls. Your youth, in other words, to your girls. They come easily into my grip through my persuasions. Hardly one in a thousand can resist my temptations, my seductions, that I put across to them. Very significant what I'm saying now. I don't want to elaborate too much. Shaitan says, no problem with your middle-aged women, no problem with your girls. Them, hardly one in a thousand can resist my temptations and my seductions, those that I put across to them. Then says Shaitan, and I swear, take an oath, Shaitan, and I swear by the one who has granted me permission to exist in this world until the day of judgment, that whosoever of your ummah decides to do something good, whoever of your ummah, Ya Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in brackets, whichever person, male or female, whoever in your ummah makes a niyat, a good niyat, a niyat to do something good. I, says Shaitan, most certainly attach a shaitan to him, put a shaitan onto him. And the name of the shaitan is Mutaqazi. The name of the shaitan is Mutaqazi. The shaitan attaches itself like a leech to that person and urges him and presses him constantly to either cancel his intention or to brag and boast about it to others. And in this way, to place an obligation on Allah, thus ruining the goodness and the intent of his action. Brothers, I hope you understand this one. Mutaqadi is a shaitan. Shaitan tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every time any person of the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants to carry out any good intention, do any good act, then immediately shaitan appoints one iblis by the name of Mutaqadi onto him. Mutaqadi, you go and attach yourself, and like a leech, you know, a leech, once it gets in there, it's very difficult to get him off. He will suck your blood. Now that is how this Mutaqadi comes, and it gets into you, gets into your pores, through your pores, flows into your veins, and his job is to make you cancel your intention, leave your intention. He will try all his tricks, his wiles, and all his schemes in order to make you forget your intention, cancel your intention, disturb your intention, you know, and try and get your mind away from that particular good deed and task. You think carefully, brothers, how often? How often have you thought of doing something good and it has slipped your mind? Who is responsible for that? Shaitan. Alright? So, what Shaitan is telling the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here, he attaches, and like a leech he attaches him to him, and then this Shaitan waswasas him and waswasas him to leave that action, or, says Shaitan, or to boast about it. Now, what, the moment you brag about a good deed to others, you wipe it away. While you wipe it away, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to boast about good deeds to other people. The moment you brag about it and you talk about it to others, you wash away the reward. There is nothing left in it. No good deed left. And Shaitan says, and in this way place an obligation on Allah. In other words, the obligation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are seeking reward for your good deed by announcing it to the whole world. By telling all your friends and parents and everybody you are doing this good deed, you narrow it down, you make it into a shallow act, not a good one. Alright? You are not supposed to broadcast your good deeds to others. So anyway, there it is, thus ruining the goodness of intent and act. Now Shaitan goes on. What is Shaitan doing here? He is explaining to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how he will make a Muslim's tawbah unacceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why unacceptable? Unacceptable because they will be doing things which are criminal, which are sinful, which are totally wrong, which are unacceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim cannot indulge in sinful and evil acts and then make tawbah and accept and expect it to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't work like that. Then Shaitan tells the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as to the one of your ummah who wishes to perform salah. Salah is a big worry of Shaitan. Now he's specially mentioning this to the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, as to the one of your ummah who wishes to perform salah, well, I try to make him or her neglect salah until the time for that salah passes away. And if I fail to make him negligent of salah, then I turn some people towards him to engage him in conversation or to occupy him in any other way so that he becomes unmindful of salah. Until when it returns to his mind, then time has passed away or there is very little time left for salah. So he rushes then to perform his salah in great haste like a hen, and then he performs his salah like a hen pecking the ground for seeds, for food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept such a salah unless the person make amends through tawbah, for tawbah removes the sins from a person. Shaitan informs the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when it comes to salah, a person makes intention, he is going to make salah. And the moment he makes intention, if he's a businessman, shop becomes full with customers. All the people that are passing by, shaitan reminds them that you need a condenser and you need a, you know, plugs and so on, all those things come, and then they turn in and they rush into the shop quickly before the shop closes. Alright, they rush in and they want to make their necessary purchases. So shaitan engages them in that. With other people, friends come in at that particular time. Now he feels very shy to ask his friends that, hang on a minute or wait there, I've got to, taking a little time off, I'll see you just now. He feels ashamed to do that in front of his friends, you know, and so on. So shaitan says, his technique, his diabolic plan with the musalli, with the person who makes salah, is that he does this to them. He either engages the attention of the musalli to such an extent that the time for salah passes away, or if shaitan fails to do that, then shaitan says he turns people towards that person who wishes to make salah, to engage him in conversation or to occupy him some other way, or he makes him unmindful of salah by turning his mind until time has passed away. And when there's very little time left, because a man keeps putting off his salah and he says, all right, there's another 15 minutes left, I can quickly do so, and then of course another 5 minutes pass away, there's 10 minutes left, and somebody comes in and he quickly is busy with that person, and then there's 5 minutes left, and you say, well, 5 minutes left. Now he rushes off, he makes his wudu, chop chop, and then he's quickly there with salah, and that salah goes, because before the sun sets, or before the sun rises, or before the waqtu passes away, he's got to finish up. So then shaitan describes the salah of such a person as like a hen. If you have seen the speed with which the hen picks the ground looking for, digging for food, very, very fast. That is how that salah is described. Shaitan says, Allah Ta'ala does not accept the salah of such a person unless the person makes tawbah, and then he becomes aware of shaitan's plan and he does not repeat this. Brothers, this what I have said is very, very helpful to us, this conversation between shaitan and the Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, very helpful because it makes us aware of how shaitan operates on our minds. Shaitan now proceeds further. After dealing with salah, he says, and I will instigate the people of your ummah towards bringing false accusations, towards slandering others, towards calumniating, meaning to speak evil of, to speak falsely of, to cast aspersions on, to charge falsely and knowingly with some crime or offense or something disreputable, to propagate evil reports with a design to injure the reputation of others, to maliciously and defame others or slander others. Now this part, brothers, listen very, very carefully what shaitan says. It is amazing. And I will instigate your ummah towards bringing false accusations, towards slandering, towards calumniating your Sahaba-e-Karam, your Sahabas, your companions. Shaitan says he will induce a section of the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards making false accusations, towards slandering, and towards calumniating. And this word calumniating, which is used, I've translated into calumniating. This is what calumniating means. To calumniate against the Sahabas means to speak evil of, to speak falsely of, to cast aspersions on the characters of, to propagate evil reports about the Sahabas, in order to injure their and harm their and hurt their reputation. Calumniate means to maliciously defame the Sahaba Ikram through slanderous reports. Now says Shaitan, what I mean, Shaitan tells the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at Shaitan in great surprise. Shaitan then continues, now he's explaining to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how he's going to cause the defamation of the Sahaba-e-Karam. He says, what I mean is that I will entice, look how unashamed Shaitan, how shameless Shaitan is. He says it because he knows man does not pay heed. Man does not pay heed. Even if man knows what shaitan is going to do, they pay no heed. We do not pay heed. You know, this is almost like the church tells us. The churches get together. When it comes to Islam, then all the church, they fight amongst themselves. They are enemies amongst themselves. But when it comes to Islam and the growth of Islam and the spread of Islam, then all the enemy churches combine and they pool their resources, they put their ministers together and they establish a special mission to the Muslims, propagation amongst the Muslims. They all stand together when it comes to Islam and they put their funds together to work against Islam. And they publicize this fact. They're not afraid, they're not ashamed, they actually print it and they give it to the Christians and say, you people must donate because we are fighting against Islam and the spread of Islam. And they give all kinds of anti-Islam reasons for establishing this fund. And people donate in their millions to this particular, governments donate to, Christian governments donate to them, and so on and so on, and it goes on in their enmity and so-called fight against Islam. Alright, shaitan, you know, excites them more and more. Well, the point I'm making here is that this is how it happens. This is what happens there. The all of them get together in their opposition to the Muslims and so forth. Shaitan, on the other hand, says what he does is he also publicizes. He also has informed man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly in the Quran, as I have so often said, Shaitan says he's your enemy, and this is how he will operate. This is what he will do to the ummah. Christians and our enemies also tell us, the Jewish lobby, we well know how opposed it is to the growth of Islam and the spread of Islam. We know this. We know their techniques. We know their methods. What are we doing about it? What we are doing about it is all the Arab rich countries and the petrodollars, all the rest of it, we invest it with those Jewish organizations, companies and companies. They use our money to fight against us. Subhanallah. Anyway, this is a sad indictment of our people. Now here Shaitan is telling the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exactly what he will do with this ummah. We know what he's going to do. I'm going to explain it to you what he's going to do. I wonder how many of us are aware of this. Say Shaitan now. He says, after telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he will go to a party and a section of the Muslim ummah, and then he will tell them and incite them against the Sahaba-i-Karam. And he uses these words and he says, this is what I'll make them do against your Sahabas, your beloved companions who stood by you, who died for you, who fought for you, who spread Islam, who preserved Islam, who were the most honorable people in creation after the Anbiya's. Well, regarding those people, say Shaitan, this is what I'm going to do with them. When the Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said this, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at him with surprise. Shaitan then got more excited. Now he's going to explain to the Nabi and actually spell it out how he is going to defame the Sahaba-i-Karam. He says, what I mean is that I will entice them to accuse Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Now I am saying Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Shaitan just says Abu Bakr and Umar and so on and so on and so on. Exactly like many of us have started to do also without respect to these Sahabas. Alright? That is by the inducement and enticement of Shaitan. Let's proceed. He says, Allahu Akbar. What I mean is that I will entice them to accuse Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu of oppression and injustice. What I mean is that I will entice them to accuse Umar radiallahu ta'ala of stealing and deceiving. What I mean is that I will entice them to that